Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better.
Geraldo.
77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
You know what's coming. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
So we're sending this out to the women we love. To my beautiful wife, Erica, especially. To my mom, Grandma Lil, who's about to go under the knife. She fell and had a broken hip. She's having surgery in about a half hour. So this is for Grandma Lil. For my three daughters, for Isabella, Simone, and Sol. Noam, do you want
to? I'd like to send this out to my beautiful wife of 13 years, Pamela. And to my mother, Judy, in Israel. And to the girlfriend I'll be taking out tonight for Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, actually.
I beg your pardon.
<I'm just kidding. laughs>
All right. This is from Twisted Mustache. And if you're watching on the website, they really have twisted mustaches.
Let me call you, sweetheart. I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so true. Let me call you, sweetheart. I'm in love.
Twisted Mustache, you can get them. They'll come to your house, twistedmustache.com. Gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate it. Twisted so Mustache, much. Happy thank Valentine's Day to all the ladies out there. Well, tomorrow, anyway. So New York got a great big Valentine's. I mean, I have so much to talk about. I mean, we're getting a Valentine's from the Dow Jones, which is, it dropped below 18,000. It was above 18,000, still up a bit. But it hit a record just earlier, a couple of minutes ago. Hopefully it'll stay up there. That'll be the biggest Valentine I can get. But New York City get a great big big kiss from the cops and from the streets. There has not been a murder in New York now for 11 days. 11 days in a row in a city of 8.4 million people, including 500,000 unauthorized or undocumented immigrants, not a single homicide, 11 days. That is the longest stretch since the records keepers have been keeping reliable records. It is amazing. So kudos to the NYPD, first and foremost. To Mayor de Blasio, it may hurt to give the guy credit, but credit is obviously due. Proof's in the pudding. Not a single homicide in 11 days. You can't blame it just on the weather. We've had plenty of bad winters. Last winter was more harsh by far than this one. But there has not been a single homicide. The last reported homicide was up in Harlem when someone got shot. That was on Super Bowl Sunday. Late at night on Super Bowl Sunday. Not a single homicide since then. This is by far the safest big city in America. And I have to tell you, folks, what this has done, there is about people who've been around a while, a certain inflexibility and inability to admit when you are wrong. If this continues, this record low rate of homicide, I will admit that I was wrong about stop and frisk. And Noam, you were right. I thought that was the only way to keep the city safe. And I'm willing to hear from anyone on this at 866-GERALDO. But like I said, the bottom line is we haven't had a homicide in 11 days. I don't know why. Maybe some sociologist or criminologist or law enforcement expert or hard-bitten, grizzled old cop can tell me why. But we have not had a single homicide in 11 days, and everyone, including me, predicted a spike in crime with the diminution of stop and frisk. So you're right. I'm wrong.
You know, can I also give credit? I think, and big credit goes to former Mayor Michael Bloomberg, because he went after the flow of illegal guns like no politician ever has. And I think that's part of what's paying off here, is those guns aren't getting to the streets as much as they used to.
Well, we salute former Mayor Bloomberg, former Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, Bill Bratton, the current police commissioner, and Gulp, the mayor of the city of New York, Bill de Blasio. Now, that leads me to my next topic. Since we are the safest big city in the country, maybe on earth, how is it that we lose the damn Democratic National Presidential Convention to Philadelphia? How do you lose it to Philadelphia, where they have a terrible problem with violent crime?
Yeah.
Now, everyone is saying, and it may very well be true, that the reason the Democrats chose not to go to Brooklyn, to Barclays Center, to the beautiful big center there in Brooklyn, in that whole resurrected area in Flatbush Avenue there, is because of all these scandals the Democrats have been suffering statewide, particularly the arrest of Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. And who knows where the Moreland Commission scandal is going to stop. The problem with the arrest of Sheldon Silver and the next shoe, which is going to drop, and we don't know how close to the office of Governor Andrew Cuomo the federal probe is going to reach for the cancellation of the Moreland Commission, and more importantly, the crimes that the Moreland Commission was seeking to uncover. But the Democrats figured, just chronologically, that the arrests are coming now, the indictments and trials would be coming around the time of the Democratic National Convention next year. So it is precisely because of the corruption within the Democratic Party in New York State that New York City has lost the Democratic Convention and all of the tens of millions of dollars that convention would bring into this city. Shame, therefore, is appropriately branded on the rear ends of the Democrats statewide. Look what they have done. They have, through their filthy politics, now tangibly cost Brooklyn, the city, the state, the region here, the metropolitan area, a huge source of revenue. I mean, it is really pathetic. It is so disheartening. And you just, the fury of it is, for how long have we heard that Sheldon Silver is on the take?
Years.
Years and years and years. Now it breaks at this inopportune time. And now we all have to live with the fact that these bums have cost the city this big party. Hey, Dan in Belmore, what's up? Hello, Dan, you there?
Yeah, hi, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing. I agree wholeheartedly. Look, I think the Democratic National Committee is very concerned that, as Parit Bahara has said, there's plenty more to come, and when there's more to come, you know, the pipeline flows, you know, the water flows up, not down, in these investigations. So you're left with possibly the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, who's a prominent national Democratic figure. And if there's any more, you know, to come from these investigations, any more indictments, and he happens to be one of them, it's just too much of a gift to the Republicans for them to be hosting their own convention in a state where the Democratic governor would be under indictment. It's bad enough that the Democratic Speaker of the Assembly is under indictment.
I'm with you, brother. It's absolutely, thanks for the call, smart call. Chris in Jersey, what's up, Chris? What are you thinking about today?
A lot of stuff. First of all, I hope your grandmother does well in surgery, Geraldo.
Thanks. It's my mom, actually. We call her Grandma Lil. She's actually great-great-grandma Lil, but thank you. I appreciate that.
No,
So 15 yeah. minutes, obviously a huge distraction. My brother says that she's amazingly spry and positive. She was reading the newspaper today. You know, she's communicative. We're worried mostly about the anesthetic. You know how that goes.
Yeah, you know, I have my father, my mom passed, but I know what it's like. It's tough. But what I was thinking about is, you know, two things. The reason there haven't been a murder in 11 days, and probably crime has gone down significantly, it's pretty cold outside. Usually that stuff increases with the weather. And, you know, New York, I hate to say this, just I'm a Jersey guy, they're getting pushback on the conventions, but when you keep reelecting people who you know are crooks, sooner or later, you know, the bell will toll.
There's definitely truth to that particular statement. But it's been cold in previous winters, just to Chris's first point. It's not just about the weather. There's something else going on. It could be that, you know, I remember drugs is like the source of most of these violent crimes. You see the domestic abuse or violence, you know, it's a guy kills his wife's boyfriend or something like that. Or it's drugs, turf wars. And either the drug thing has been muted or all the turf beefs are settled. All right, you take this block, I'll take that block. I mean, that's also possible. I don't care what it is, though. I embrace it. Again, I congratulate the administration of Bill de Blasio. Particularly, I congratulate Bill Breton and the NYPD. I'm going to come back to your calls. It's going to be a busy day, so fasten your seatbelt and tune in and stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
I think, particularly for Brooklynites, this was a source of a lot of pride. I heard from any number of people all over the city who really wanted it. I thought it would be exciting and historic moment. Obviously, it's a convention that could make some particular history.
Make some particular history, but it's going to make that history in Philadelphia, not in Brooklyn. Tens of millions of dollars has just gone 90 miles south down the New Jersey Turnpike to Philadelphia. Brooklyn loses. Why? Because the Democrats feared the notoriety that is coming from the cancer of corruption and the federal probe that has already claimed, although he's not been tried and convicted yet, but he's already been arrested and fired, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, after two decades in office, now facing this huge arrest by the feds. Preparar, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, has promised more shoes are going to drop. So I must say that the Democrats have cost us a huge, huge one. In this particular case, let me get your feelings on it all. Joe in Jersey, what's up, Joe? What are you thinking about?
Hi, Geraldo. That's a big part of it, but the real reason is just the logistics. I'm a little bit on the inside of this, and the organization.
Just describe how you're on the inside without divulging anything.
Excuse me?
Tell me why. How are you on the inside? In what sense?
Oh, no, I'm familiar with the Democratic organization.
Oh, okay.
In New Jersey. And the real reason was the logistics, the nightmare that the Super Bowl was last year. There aren't enough hotel rooms around the arena in Brooklyn, getting people back and forth to the...
There's a subway. There's all the subway lines. Exactly. I've been to Barclays Center. It's so easy.
Well, thank New Jersey Transit for that, because when they look...
Yeah, I was at that Super Bowl, and if we didn't leave early, we would have been snagged. But Jersey Transit screwed up, and I don't.
There's a real fear of that. But I've been to a lot of conventions, and people like to have everything within walking distance. And a lot of the cities that have downtowns with. In 10 years from now, Brooklyn will probably be fine for that, because by then the hotels.
You may be partially right. I think it's
the only reason. Yeah, no.
I think the stink of scandal is what it had. But I appreciate the call, Joe and James in Rockland. What's up, James?
Hey, good morning, Geraldo, and well wishes to your mom.
I appreciate that. God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. As far as stop and frisk, you and I had the conversation before, and I don't think taking away people's personal liberties in the name of safety is a good idea.
Well, you look more right than me, brother.
Yeah, crime statistics are showing and proving that I'm correct.
So what do you think is going on? Why all of a sudden if we stop killing each other?
I give credit to the people in the community, not just the police. Even with the police slowdown after the Eric Garner, we still have a reduction in murders in the city. So you got to give credit all the way around the
board. Right.
I don't think that there's anything in specific. What about the community advocate, the people in the community who are out there fighting against crime? You got to give them credit also.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree. And I'm totally, of all the things I could possibly be wrong about, I am delighted to be wrong about this one.
And as far as the guns in the community with Bloomberg and things like that, the gun laws didn't change anywhere outside of New York, really. So as far as the guns,
you think there's still that many guns in town?
I don't know. I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, they say that the guns are coming in from out of state.
No, I get it. Virginia, you could buy a gun. All you need is a license. You know, thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Here's James on Long Island. Oh, James, quick.
Good morning, Geraldo. Listen, I believe it is the corruption why we didn't get the convention in New York City.
Me too.
And the Republicans, I predicted a couple of months the Republicans are going to be let out in handcuffs also.
In the state capitol? Yeah, could be.
Yes.
That could
yes,
be. What's his name? What's his name? The Democratic?
Hasty?
No, Dean Skelos.
Skelos.
He's the Republican.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be the next. The news.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Philadelphia got the big wet kiss from the Democratic Party. New York loses out. Brooklyn specifically. Barclays Center even more specifically. It would have been a wonderful place to have a convention, but the Democrats apparently fearing that the muck from the various scandals that has absolutely immobilized our state capital in Albany, what with the arrest of the Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver and all, just too much baggage. I'm mixing my metaphors there, but the bottom line is tens of millions lost to Brooklyn, to the five boroughs, to the metro area, as the Democrats decide to take their 2016 presidential convention 90 miles down the turnpike to Philadelphia. Bob Hart. He's one of those bright guys who runs New York One, terrific news outlet. He's their political director. Bob, welcome aboard. What happened? Why'd we lose?
Hey, thanks for having me. I think it's a variety of factors. I don't think it's necessarily all the political corruption going on in Albany as much as hotel rooms. We have 100,000 hotel rooms in New York City, but only 4,000 in Brooklyn. I don't think it was realistic to expect someone from Wyoming to get onto the D train at the Hilton in Midtown.
Why not? It's easy.
It's easy for you. It's easy for me. I think when I see those out-of-town people with the maps and the compass down on the subway platform, I think that's a little taste of what we'd get, especially if you're a wealthier person who's used to getting your way and being driven around, that suddenly having to navigate the subway system, while it's a great idea, maybe if you're a transportation advocate who lives in Park Slope, it's not a realistic one. I think that's a factor. I think also the fact that Bill de Blasio is sort of wanting to become a liberal standard bearer. I think the party planners would rather have Mayor Michael Nutter, who isn't necessarily as much of a lightning rod in the party.
You think that our mayor, Bill de Blasio, is too left-wing, too Democratic for the Democrats?
I think that was a factor. I don't
really?
Think that,
interesting.
That was a deal breaker. I think that was certainly something.
So you believe he's like a commie?
I think that the Republicans could have used some of de Blasio's views in maybe a kind of a viral video ad, and also made fun of.
I think you're right. I think on that de Blasio's, the whole Sandinista connection and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Even though some of it's a
Comrade
little silly,
Bill.
They would have had fun with it.
They would have. I appreciate it. Bob Hard, and New York One, we tune you guys in every morning. You do an excellent job. Appreciate it.
Thanks, and thanks for having me on.
Okay, buddy. Here in Riverdale, Ken's on the line. What's up, Ken? What are you thinking about?
Good morning. I'm a retired detective in New York. About the stop and frisk, you cannot evaluate the stop and frisk by the amount of people killed. It should be by the amount of people shot that night.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, because
if they have a bad aim, it's that's serendipitous.
Most people do, including cops. And there are people that are shot, and they don't die the next day or immediately. They could die 4 days later, and that isn't reported in the daily number of people killed.
It's a reporter for the day they pass. But, I mean, we've had 11 days. We have to salute somebody,
we? No, I am. But I'm saying I'd like to know how many people are being shot in New York.
I know that we did a report, a critical report, I think it was in December, where shootings were up, although, as Ken, a retired officer, tells us, people are bad shots. So a lot of people that are shot with the intent to be murdered, they just don't die. So that's part of it. Hey, what do you think of the cop being indicted in the Akai Gurley case, Ken?
I think we have to let the process go forward.
But just what do you think? I'm not asking you to prejudge it.
I think that it was a young officer that made a terrible mistake.
Is it a crime?
I really don't know all the facts. I've been in situations where if you hesitate, you can be killed. And so I can't judge it. I would have to hear the facts. Although, from what I know, and the fact that he was unarmed,
looks bad.
To take somebody's life without reason is a crime. Whether or not it's punishable
is another matter. All right, excellent, honest report there. I appreciate that, Ken. It can easily, ladies and gentlemen. We love cops around here. This is Cop Central. But there is an aspect to this that is very difficult to forgive completely. I mean, it does smack of criminal negligence. Let me put it that way. It does smack of criminal negligence. You don't need intent to be negligent. And sometimes your negligence can be criminal. And I think that's what we're seeing here, if you get my drift. Bill in Brooklyn. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Geraldo?
Good, thanks for calling.
Three quick reasons. I believe, number one, honestly, it may sound funny, but I really believe the cold has left. Nobody wants to go out and get involved in anything right now.
Well, winters are classically have fewer violent crimes, certainly street crimes or stranger violence, than right. Summertime does. But you can't just because their fingers get stuck to the metal, you can't, it's not all about the winter. We've had... Last winter was worse than this winter, and last winter we had more murders than this winter.
Well,
go ahead. What's your other 2 points, brother?
Well, my other point is that, all kidding aside, there's no drive-by shootings because nobody wants to lose their parking spot.
Now, you could write a book about that one. That's a good one. And now, you know something? The reason it's funny is because it may be true.
It's true. Yeah.
My last point is that I believe neighborhoods are changing. The uppies.
They sure are.
Yeah, they're driving all the criminals or vermin, whatever you want to call them, out and displaced. And my son moved into a place in Williamsburg. It's a brand new 22-story high building. It's right in the middle of a mess. And across the street is a project. And that's happening, you know. So it's kind of displacing and...
Displacing the scumbags. All right, I get that. You know, I was a kid in Williamsburg at South 2nd Street, and it was a neighborhood that was a rough and tumble neighborhood. Then my son lived, Gabriel, my now 36-year-old, lived in Williamsburg. And by the time Gabriel lived in Williamsburg, it was totally remade. And now, I mean, Ken talks about his son. I bet his son's paying like $2,000 for a 2-bedroom in Brooklyn now.
Oh, more than that.
Do you think?
Yeah, Brooklyn's not too far behind Manhattan when it comes to rents now, especially in those neighborhoods. I know we're looking at the glass as sort of half full as opposed to half empty when it comes to the decision on the convention. Isn't it amazing that Brooklyn was even in contention? They made it to the final. Hey, Brooklyn, 20 years ago, if you had said Brooklyn would be in contention to hold the Democratic National Convention, people would have thought you were crazy.
Here's Sheldon, but it's not Sheldon Silver from Long Island. Hey, Sheldon, do you like want to change your first name?
Hi, Geraldo. No, I'm very happy with
okay, all right. We won't blame you for your namesake sins. What's up? Thanks. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking that the Democratic convention was not held in Brooklyn. It wouldn't have been held in New York City. It wouldn't have been held in any place in New York because New York is a solid Democrat state. Pennsylvania could very well be a toss-up
Good point.
In the next election.
Good point.
And I think that's why Philadelphia was picked. I don't think it has anything to do with Sheldon Silver or corrupt politics, because there's corrupt politics in every state. So I think it had to do with the fact of Pennsylvania being a possible toss-up state.
I think that's an excellent analysis there, Sheldon, and I appreciate it. I'm going to squeeze one more. Here's Lou in Brooklyn. What's up, Lou?
Hi, how are you? So I'm a retired NYPD detective. What I do like about the Akai Gurley grand jury proceedings is that the family rejected Al Sharpton. I understand that pain, but that...
What's that? Was that a, what, another the crank call?
I think same guy called yesterday, yeah.
The same guy?
Yeah.
Did the Akai Gurley family reject Reverend Sharpton? Is that true?
I can look that up. I don't know.
All right, we'll find out, and we'll tell you when we come back after this.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Councilmember Vincent Gentile joins us right now. He's a Democrat from Brooklyn. Councilman, welcome aboard. Where exactly is your district?
I cover Bay Ridge, Diker Heights, Bensonhurst, and parts of Bath Beach, all the way down Cropsey Avenue.
Okay, so you're terrific. You are more south and west of downtown Brooklyn, but certainly you would have gotten some of the good vibes from a convention in Barclays Center. Was it denied, New York councilman, because of the corruption scandal in Albany?
Well, first of all, let me say, as a Brooklynite, forget about it. This was a diss. This was a diss to Brooklyn.
I'm into that.
Yes. and I don't think it was had anything to do with the corruption scandal that's brewing in Albany. I don't believe that the National Democrats dug down that far to see what's happening.
Then what was it then? Brooklyn is so glamorous.
You're right. Listen, I think Brooklyn is the crossroads of our country. 1 in 7 Americans trace their roots to Brooklyn.
I'm into that too.
Yeah, so we are the crossroads, and we're mosaic of our country. So Brooklyn is America. America is Brooklyn.
So this is a bad idea for the Democrats?
No, I think what it comes down to is that they picked a swing state in Pennsylvania, and I understand that. The Republicans.
We'll be right back. Sorry, out of town. We'll be right back.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Saw the light in Erica's eyes, my Valentine. They asked me off camera today on Fox and Friends if I had met Erica first, would my marriage record be different? I hate to rewrite history anyway.
Right.
And now, the thing is, I have no beefs with my wives that I married when I married them. I think the problem wasn't my wives, it was me.
Yeah,
I just had to grow up.
I thought about that before too, and I wonder. I think you were just reckless then, more reckless.
I was a reckless person.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have mattered who the first one was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first and second, third.
You got it right on the fifth one. So.
Shut up. I did get it right though. God bless. We've been together 15 years now. 15 years.
Yeah, you did
no
well,
incidents.
Man.
No nothing.
Well, of course. No, she's great. Why would you?
Why would I? Why would I? But man, oh man, I'm just thinking about Bob Simon, and you look at the front pages of the tabs, especially the post out of this great picture, Driver from Hell. What's this? 9 previous license suspensions. Yeah. I mean, this seems like a really bad apple.
And go figure. How do you get your driver's license back if it's been suspended once, twice, 3 times, but 9 times? This guy, Abdul Rashad Fadahi, 44 years old, Afghan immigrant, lives in a homeless shelter. So
I guess
he wasn't making a whole lot of money.
But I thought that they make big money on these.
No,
I mean,
you don't make a lot of money as a
not
driver.
A lot, but don't you make like 50 grand a year as a driver?
I think you can if you're full time. He also was driving, apparently, this is what the New York Post is reporting this morning, that he only drove with one hand because his other hand was dead from a suicide attempt. So this guy's 9 suspensions, one hand, speed demon, and he's driving Bob Simon around.
My goodness. Patrick on the Upper East Side. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, morning, Geraldo. 2 points, if I may, Geraldo.
Sure.
Bob Simon, one, and then the Quran, a question for you, number
okay,
two.
Okay, sure.
Bob Simon, last night on CBS with News with Scott Pelley, they did a little tribute to Bob. I loved his reporting.
Me too.
You know what video clip they showed, Geraldo?
Which one?
They showed a video clip of either the 67 or the 73 Israeli-Arab wars. They showed Israeli soldiers giving a beatdown to some Palestinian prisoners. Now, of all video clips to give prominence to with Bob Simon, what the hell do they show? Video clips.
Kind of a weird, I agree, kind of a weird selection given his career.
I'm pissed off, Rollo, as I told you in previous calls. I'm the Irish guy married to a Jewish girl.
Yeah.
I am pissed off. You know, this unrelenting attack on Israel, unrelenting attack on Jews, my antenna is up.
Okay, brother, what's your second point?
Number two, Geraldo, do me a favor.
Sure.
I'm an open-minded guy like you. I'm a little ticked off at the moment, but I'm an open-minded guy. Could you kindly have an Islamic scholar, priest, imam up, and have him review a couple of things? I have a couple of quotes from the Quran, just two. Number one. The Jews are the heirs of hell. Allah has cursed them for all of their beliefs. They are the greediest of mankind. Chapter 11, verse 96. Number two, and I'll stop. Jews and Christians, many are the rabbis and the monks and priests who defraud men of their possessions. Chapter 2, verse 71.
I got it. Okay. Okay, Patrick. I got it. I got it. You got it. You got to deal with your wife. You got to your hands full. I know what it's like. So does Noam. We're all married to Jewish women. But don't forget tomorrow. It's a non-sectarian Valentine's Day. I appreciate the call, Patrick. Oy vey. That's all I could say about that. But you know, talking about Muslims specifically, I don't want to talk about Muslims. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about our tolerant and inclusive nation, the most tolerant and inclusive nation on earth. But I think that with all due respect to Patrick, and he raises a good point. I mean, if it's in writing in the Quran, it's in writing, and then too bad. I mean, there's some things in the Old Testament that are kind of hair-raising also. I'm sure that most holy books, because they choose sides and they are by their very nature parochial in the sense that they root for the home team and condemn the outsiders. But we welcome everybody here. But I think we have a blind side. And I think the assassination of these three Muslim kids, these honor students at the University of North Carolina, 23 years old, 21 years old, 19 years old. What has the response been? In fairness, what has the response been to that triple assassination? I think it has been very muted. You don't have sweeping national outrage. I mean, just imagine for a second. Just bear with me one second. Let's say that this murdered trio, these three kids, honor students, had been Jewish. Just say. Or if they had been black. Just say. Or if they had been gay. Just saying. If they had been from any of the groups that we are vigilant in terms of and outspoken in terms of our protectiveness for these groups that in times past have been singled out for horrible discrimination, you would have had elected officials all over this triple killing. You would have activist groups. They would have been condemning the killings. You would have been demanding justice. Where's the president of the United States of America? Can you tell me that if these were three black kids, he would have stopped whatever was going on to make a proclamation, as he should have, if they were Jewish kids or gay kids? But I haven't. Is it why has the response been so muted? I mean, let's see. I'm trying to find out the page that it's on in some of these tabloids. I don't want to embarrass them, but it definitely would have been front page news if it was any other trio.
No doubt.
So isn't that a fair question to ask? Where is the outrage on this? I think that we have to be very careful. You know, you have Black Lives Matter, big movement now with the, you know, Kai Gurley and Eric Garner and so forth. But where's the demonstration for these kids? They were honor students. They were the best of the best in Chapel Hill, one of the great universities in the country, University of North Carolina. Abbas El-Kordi not only went to the University of North Carolina, he's also the brother of Mary El-Kordi, our Mary Elizabeth, our beautiful, talented producer. here. Abbas, did you know any of these kids by any chance? Hello, Abbas.
Oh, good morning, Geraldo.
How are you doing? Good morning. Did you know? Do you know the scene down there? Tell me what you know about what happened.
Well, Dia, I used to play a lot of basketball with him and go out to eat and go have a good time, and he was a really great kid.
So you actually knew the young man who was killed?
The two semesters I was down at NC State, I did. Before he went to UNC, he went to NC State, and then he moved on to do his dental master's at UNC.
Wow. So tell me again what kind of kid he was.
He was the type of kid who was a real community leader. Like, a lot of my friends, when I met new people in the Islamic community, everybody would be like, oh, did you know that kid Dia? And everybody would always be like, oh, he's so nice. And he was always on the straight and narrow, always had great grades, never smoked, never drank, always went to the mosque every Friday. And he always had a smile on his face. And now this person's taken that away.
So what do you think of the response to this horrific triple killing on the campus there?
Well, I know at UNC they're having a very strong response, and, you know, over 10,000 people, it seems, have showed up for that candlelight vigil, and I know they had the funeral yesterday, and I'm not sure how many people showed up, but I know a lot of my friends who live down there were telling me that they were going, and everybody in the Islamic community is really trying to show their support, and even outside the Islamic community, like UNC community, everybody, you can see posts on Facebook sending out their prayers or just giving, you know, support by showing up.
Do you worry that Muslim lives don't matter?
Well, that's the issue. You know, basically, you have these three Muslim kids down south all being killed execution style in their home and by a man who has prior to this kind of shown that he has hate for not only Muslims but for Christian people as well by posting anti-Christian, anti-Muslim posts on his Facebook. So when you have all these details, you see that the media is putting it out as a parking dispute, and you can't help but get angry. Like, why a parking dispute? Why can't you give this kid justice? Or why can't the world see that sometimes Islamic people are the victims and not always the aggressors?
Well said, brother. I appreciate you coming on, Abbas, and best of luck to you. I totally agree with you. I totally do. Thank you for coming on. You know, sometimes life's a bitch. And it's really, you have people filled with hatred for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, anybody that ever parked a car in New York, you know, sometimes he gets steamed up about it. But I have a very difficult time to think that he went into their homes and assassinated the three of them with shots to the head because they had a car in his spot. I mean, this is something that bears investigation. But the one lesson, and I love the people that listen to this show because they are by nature open-minded. If they can tolerate these 2 hours, they are by nature open-minded. But around here, these lives matter to me. They matter to you. I know they do. And I want equal justice and equal outrage. Yes, black lives matter and Jewish lives and gay lives and every other life and Muslim lives matter. 17 after, we'll be right back.
From New York, for New York, live, local, on it. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Marty Berman, our executive producer, is, ever vigilant for slights against the Jews. He came up with this one, a whopper. I love Shirley MacLaine. I mean, I adore her. I know her very well. With her a lot. She has a new book out. That is causing a big stir. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily. 866 Geraldo, I appreciate that. I'm going to come to you momentarily. Shirley wrote in her new book, what if most Holocaust victims were balancing their karma from ages before when they were Roman soldiers putting Christians to death, the Crusaders who murdered millions in the name of Christianity, soldiers with Hannibal, or those who stormed across the Near East with Alexander? The energy of killing is endless and will be experienced by killer and killee. I mean, blaming the Holocaust on karma is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little intense.
That's a little.
But she's always been a little nut job.
She's kind of nutty in the past lives therapy and all the rest of that. But you know what? You know the central reason people are religious, and this might stir controversy, is the fear of death. why are you religious? It's because you get on earth and you live this ridiculously short time and then you die. And so is it really ashes to ashes? I mean, no one remembers what happened before they were born. And then after you're dead, are you just dead? And isn't the fear of that dead end,
right.
Isn't that why you're religious? Because, I mean, particularly Christianity has this wonderful, or, I mean, the Muslims with this crazy suicide thing, you know, virgins and all the rest of it. I don't know particularly, maybe the guy that was citing, maybe Patrick, the Irish guy with the Jewish wife, can call me back and tell me where that whole 32 virgins thing comes from. And is it real?
Yeah.
Is it in the Quran, or is it just, jihadi propaganda? But that's what it is. It's fear of death. I mean, you think about it. I mean, I just saw that, Nick Nolte was crying because he's old and he's going to die and he's afraid. You know, it's just a big burly. He stays home, gets stoned and drunk and worries about
just waiting to
the
die.
Afterlife.
Not Shirley MacLaine, though. She's not.
That's Shirley. Shirley has no problem about this. Here's Joan. Hi, Joan, in Queens.
Yes. Hello, Geraldo.
Thank you for calling.
Yes. I want to talk about the selfie that the president took.
Kind of weird, and, yeah.
More than weird, I really think he's unhinged. I really do. I think that there's something mental going on with him. Here we have the world burning, and he is acting like a goofball for the world to see.
You know, I agree that he, and thank you for the call. It was an excellent call. I agree that he was acting like a goofball. But, you know, the thing about messaging, what did he have? What was his message? His message was to the kids, to the millennials, if you don't register for Obamacare by Sunday, you're going to be fined on your income tax. It's almost $400. And if you don't sign up next year, it's going to be almost $700. It's a fine. So he wanted to reach young people who just aren't into news. They don't read newspapers, all the rest of it. So he did this goofy thing with the faces and the dark glasses and shooting hoops in the Oval Office. And he really did look, I think she's right. He looked preposterous. He looked ridiculous. And yet I read that he had 6 million hits on BuzzFeed with that message about signing up for Obamacare by Sunday.
One site alone, 6 million.
That hits. One site alone.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't mind, and how many times have I done pie in the face stuff, you know, for a gag, for a show, and I got some news about shows coming up that I'll tell you about where you do those kind of broad comedy things to get, you know, get a message or to impact a certain audience. So I have a hard time faulting him for what could be seen. I mean, I didn't even know what LOL meant until about 10 minutes ago. So I'm not the one to tell the kids how to get the, you know, that you have to sign up for Obamacare. You're going to get screwed when it comes time to get your income tax return. Maybe it worked. If he's willing to sacrifice his dignity, as obviously he did, and I think it was kind of silly. But if it works, it works. What about the news, Noam Leiden?
Geraldo, live, local. Today's most important New York stories, only on 77 WABC.
37 minutes after 11 o'clock, I'm looking up at the Empire State Building, looking at the observation deck. Looks like someone's cleaning their laundry over the side. Is that a flag that's flapping there? Do you see it?
It does look like someone's hanging out their laundry. I see what you see.
Yeah, maybe an American flag that I've never noticed before. It's a crystal clear sky. Blue sky with a pale sunshine falling down on us, but the sun not piercing this bitter cold. It's going to be real feel, is that what they say, below zero?
Yeah, tonight, yeah.
Brr, 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 brr. And speaking of staying warm or staying out of the cold, did the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was she drunk for the speech the president made the other
day?
Yeah, night?
You know, so much was made of the fact that she was sleeping in the front row as the president gave his State of the Union a couple weeks back. Yesterday, she was before an audience at George Washington University, and she told the story that she blames Justice Ginsburg, who brought a bottle of wine to dinner before the State of the Union. She even said in her head, I just want to drink bottled water because I don't want to be drunk going in, but she said the meal was so good that it had to have wine with it, and so she apologized for falling asleep at the
same time. So the headline is Supreme Court Justice Ginsburg was wasted. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was wasted. So who brought the wine?
Justice Ginsburg brought it.
No, she was Ginsburg.
Oh, now what am I saying? Justice Ginsburg. Oh my gosh, Kennedy, Justice Kennedy Justice brought the Kennedy. Wine. I apologize. Yeah.
Well, he's the swing boat. So he did. He tried to grease her onto his side, but it's so Justice Ginsburg wasted. You know, we talk about my. I'm going to get to your calls momentarily, folks. So you talk about my checkered marital history. In my day, people used to go to Haiti to get divorced because it had a residency of 24 hours. So in other words, if you moved to Haiti, if you went to a hotel in Haiti and stayed overnight, you were resident enough in Haiti that you could get divorced under Haitian law. And then under the treaty we had, the United States would recognize what happens if it's legal in Haiti, then it was legal in the United States. And so that's why Port-au-Prince, Haiti had these great hotels. You know, and some very celebrated people would make their way there. But I just was reading in the Post the other day, in the New York Post, that we have something like that happening right here in New York State in Saratoga Springs. They have a hotel just for people who are divorcing. So both sides, the man and the woman, both spouses go up to this hotel, the Gideon Putnam Hotel.
Right.
They check in. And they got it all fixed up for quickie divorces. You stay, the one's down, the estranged spouse is down the hall. They go, they stay, they have a drink, they have dinner.
Maybe a quickie, one last quickie, right?
last quickie.
That'd be kind of hot. So you're getting divorced, one last quickie.
So, Michelle Martin, I guess you're the, you do you run Divorce Hotel?
Geraldo, thanks for having me. I run Divorce Hotel in the United States and the first Divorce Hotel in Saratoga Springs, New York.
And so where'd you get this kind of bizarre idea?
Well, actually, it was founded in the Netherlands in about 2011. It was launched there. And when I heard about it, I said, we must have this here. And I'm a divorce mediator and actually started a conversation with them and convinced them to launch in the U.S. and convinced them that Saratoga Springs was the perfect spot for the divorce hotel because it's the wedding capital of New York State. And I thought, let's make it the divorce capital as well.
Oui, Bay. So you have the people come, so they have to, obviously, have to be an amicable divorce with all the property issues sorted out ahead of time, right?
Well, we do a lot of work ahead of time. They are generally amicable, but they don't necessarily have to be still, you know, in love with each other and best friends. I always say smart people mediate their divorce. So they just have to know they're going to both be better off doing it that way. So I do a lot of work ahead of time with the couples so that by the time they get to the hotel, I know it's going to work. Though having said that...
What's going to work is the divorce will work.
Yes, that the divorce will work and we won't have any surprises and that we'll be able
and so, to... And so where did the lawyers come in?
So at the end of the process, the couple consults with a lawyer to run by them their, you know, the decisions that they came to and get any advice. And the lawyers also, one of the lawyers writes up the separation agreement that they sign at the end of the weekend.
Do you ever have anybody change their mind once they get there and get the quickie that Noam spoke of and then decide they want to stick together?
We have heard of the quickie happening, but we have not had anyone decide to stay together. I think once you've made that decision, I think you're done. But
once you check into the divorce hotel, you never check out. Okay.
Right. Or you check out very happy.
Okay. Yeah, okay, Michelle Martin. Thank you very much. The divorce hotel, I guess you could look it up online. The Gideon Putnam Resort and Spa up in Saratoga Springs, a beautiful spot. Okay, enough about that. What are you thinking about? I know folks have a lot on their minds today. Phone lines are jammed. Here's Joe in Hackensack. Hey, Joe, what are you thinking about?
Hey, so yeah, I'm thinking about these three young Muslim kids that were young men that were killed.
Right.
Horrible. However, you know, it's residual hate and racism from you know, from way back in America. Some people still carry it with them. However, you know, they're different from the Jews or the blacks that are in America because I think they need to come out more and protest against horrible groups like ISIS and Hamas. That's a good point.
I mean, but you agree that this crime has all of the earmarks of a hate crime, Joe?
Yes, it is definitely a hate crime. I believe that 100%.
Yeah, me too. And I agree with you on the other issue, although they are not related issues. But I do think it's very good advice for mainstream, particularly Sunni Muslim organizations.
What do you want them to say? Like, you want them to apologize?
I want them. Do you remember the Jewish Defense League?
Yeah.
And remember Meyer Kahane? I mean, you're too young, really, to remember the full rush of that. But mainstream Jewish organizations really condemned Meyer Kahane. Unfortunately, his ilk has grown in terms of their influence as the radical extremists often grab power. I think that if you look at the Jewish community, particularly in Israel, in my day, when I started covering Israel, the secular Jews, the intelligent Jews, the live and let live Jews were the dominant majority in Israel. And I don't think that's the case anymore. You're getting a lot of Meyer Kahane types. That's what the settlers are. And I don't know why I'm getting off on that. My point is, in the important formative years, Jews did speak out against the Meyer Kahane types. I think during the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, that was his whole philosophy, was to speak out against extremism, to speak out against the militants, to speak out against those who were burning the inner city. I mean, that's what I want. I want what has been before. I want what other groups have done to marginalize the extremists within their ranks. That's what I want. I don't think, I mean, I believe myself to be a very, among the most tolerant of people. And I don't think you've had enough of that, particularly my Muslim friends tell me in Arabic. You know, it's easy to schmooze in English, but in Arabic, that's where the rubber hits the road in that community. Here's an email from Cruz Chavarria. Could it be that the press has avoided the killing of the three students because the killer is an atheist? Don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's just another wrinkle on this thing. I just can't figure that side of it. You mean, I guess what Cruz is suggesting is that this killer hates all people of all religions. Here's Jim in Toms River. Hey, Jim. Thanks for calling. Oh, I like that, brother. I like that. I should sign on that way. But what's on your mind?
Hey, you remember Papa won the Grand Concourse? First of all, Geraldo, the most intriguing thing to this audience would be, what does a young Geraldo do on Valentine's Day? Because you're a guy who had like 100 girlfriends. What are you telling him?
You mean back in those days?
Back then, I mean, what'd you tell me?
I got to cast my mind back, but, you know, that is a very interesting, you know what I used to do?
Did you do a day before thing for your girlfriend? And
in those days, you could buy bulk. Like BJ's. So what's on your mind? What did you call? You didn't call about that, Jim.
No, I didn't call about that. We could cover a lot of things and stuff. But the bottom line is, why don't we wait till all the evidence comes out, what happened down in Chapel Hill with those three murders? And why don't we scrutinize every murder in America that takes place?
Yeah, when you have an assassination of three young, some fill in the blanks, this isn't a crime of, you know, most crimes, why do they commit them? They commit them because most people know each other who kill each other. You know, domestic violence, wife, husband, that kind of stuff. Or it's a crime of, a property. They're stealing something from you. This was not either of those things. There was no relationship between the killer and those three other than this parking lot nonsense. I think that there is an assumption that could be rebutted, or a presumption, I should say. It's a rebuttable presumption, but the presumption has to be, Jim, and I appreciate the call, that this is a hate crime. Maybe the evidence will take us in a different direction, but as of right now, that's what you have to think. I got to take a break. It's 48 minutes after 11 o'clock.
Although now, get in on New York's most important stories. 866-HERALDO, 77 WABC.
So yesterday we had an amazing reaction to the interview we did with John Alight, who is one of the hitmen who was written about in Gotti's Rules, the new book about John Gotti Senior, the famed mobster, and his little son, Junior. But what was amazing to me is that John Alight admitted that they planned the hit on Curtis Sliwa, and they shot the dude in the back of that taxi. And we brought Curtis into the studio to face the guy who was plotting to kill him. No, play it. You're physically 4 feet away from this mobster.
Well, remember, I've grown up with mobsters my whole life. So the fact that he testified in the fourth trial against John Gotti Jr., hope to put him away, he's trying to square the deal. In terms of will I ever shake his hand, hell no. If he slips and falls and breaks his neck in the bathroom, God's done justice. But that's my opinion till the day I die.
All right, that's Curtis. That's Curtis on tape facing John Alight. Curtis is live right now. Man, what was that like to face the guy that wanted to kill you that was part of the group that shot you?
Well, just to be able to be alive is amazing. And particularly today, it's the 36th anniversary of the first patrol I took out in the Bronx for the Guardian Angels. But I got to tell you, Geraldo, you and your staff, you made radio history. There's never been anything like that before. In radio.
Where could they see the video?
WABCradio.com or Geraldo.com. The video's up there. Both places.
You will see Curtis Sliwa face to face with the guy that was plotting to kill him, and they actually shot him. They shot him, and he lives, and his radio show's on next. What do you got?
Oh, we got a whole bunch of things. I got Ron Kuby, right? I need liquid Prozac. What a pill.
Good luck with that, and that was excellent radio. Geraldo.com or WABCradio.com. Check it out. Thanks for your calls. You're terrific. We'll see you right here on Monday. Have a great weekend.